Welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 7 and we're picking up with verse 14. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man.
I would think, and I don't I have no way to prove this, so don't set it in concrete, okay? That this would be like the leaders of the tribe, the various 12 tribe. That would be a representative, which is going to be a leader from the tribe that's going to appear before the Lord. So it's going to start out by selecting the tribe. And then from that tribe, which is divided up into families, then the family would be selected. And I would assume that this will be done with the priest by the Urim and Thummim. That was the way they sought the counsel of the Lord with the ephod, okay, to let them know which tribe, which family, and then which household and which person. So it's a just judgment that God's given. Okay?
And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel.
This is a severe penalty because it's not only going to affect the person, but his whole family and his possessions.
But remember, too, 36 men had died.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken.
So he's not delaying. He's immediately doing what God's called him to do. They're going to get this problem eradicated. We get this out of the camp.
And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarah. The tribe of Judah. And he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken.
So out of the 12 tribes, Judah was the tribe that was selected. That's where the problem is, in this tribe. Now, which family? The family of the Zorahites was selected as the problem family. And then from that, you get Zabdi as selected as the household, and then Achan, who was the grandson of Zabdi, was found guilty. So it went from tribe to family to household, and we get down to the individual that's guilty.
Verse 19. And Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me.
So Joshua is saying to Achan, all right, you're the one. What did you do? You confess what you did. That's the essence of this, okay?
Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it.
So Achan admits his sin, but note this. his sin against God. It's one thing to sin against a person. It's another thing to sin against God. He had stolen from God. You understand? And so he confessed to what he had taken. I mean, he identified the items that he had actually taken and told them where these items, told Joshua where these items were hidden.
So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord.
So the men that Joshua sent found the items, in other words, the evidence, substantial evidence, okay, that Achan had stolen these things, and they brought these before the whole congregation. Everything taken. We're not going to leave it hidden. We're not just going to take him at his word. Well, here's the evidence, and we're not going to keep this. Okay?
And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor.
Now, here again, this is interesting to me. It's Joshua and all Israel. They take Achan. Note this. They take the silver that he stole, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, everything that he had, he possessed. They took it to this valley of Achor, okay? And so he is going to be judged with what he took. It's going to be in his possession when he's punished. He's punished with it.
And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones.
And so Joshua calls him the troubler of Israel.
Yeah.
You understand? He had cost 36 men their lives. Israel had to run from the enemy. And so he takes them everything, including what he's stolen, and they stone them and burn them and everything they own. So he lost the possessions, he lost his life and everything. He and the possessions and everything he owned is all destroyed. Let me tell you something. Greed is a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Coveting things. And this is a thing that concerns me about this nation. It's been driven by greed for many years. And kids, just as soon as they go into the workforce, they're not wanting to work, they're wanting the money.
Mm-hmm.
What does it pay? I had a guy without a job, looking for a job. I put some word out and found him a job, and he refused to take the job because it didn't pay enough. You understand? Now, what the problem was, he was too sorry to work, and I didn't have any problem telling him that. You understand? I said, it's more than you're making. You start somewhere. Everybody starts somewhere. You follow me? So, don't let greed drive you into making unwise decisions. The love of money, not money, the love for money is the root of all evil. You can be a poor man and love money. Or you can be a billionaire and love money. But either way, it's going to cause you to do unscrupulous things. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Make bad decisions just like it did with Achan. Don't be driven by greed.
And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day.
So after they destroy everything, then there's a pile of stones placed over them, and that valley is named Achor. You're talking about a memorial. That's a memorial of what not to do.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 8.
Before you go into that, Heather and I were talking just during the break, and she made an interesting observation. I want you to think about, we were talking about all the walls probably didn't fall down and all that. And if you think about it, if you had a 360-degree wall fall, the enemy could run out the back. Because it's not the army was big enough to surround the entire city, if you understand. But if you have the front walls to fall, they're corralled. You understand? They're contained. And you can destroy the enemy. You with me? That's why my suspicion is it wasn't a 360-degree thing, but it was a wall fell to give them access to get in to the city and nobody escaping. Yeah.
Good. Chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof, and the cattle thereof, ye shall take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it.
No. The men that Joshua sent up to Ai to sort of get a battle plan, they said 2,000 to 3,000. God tells Joshua to take the entire army.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. You take the entire army and you go against Ai and you destroy Ai just like you destroyed Jericho. Only you can take from Ai the goods and the cattle, the things that you seize in battle, you can take them. And then God gave to Joshua a battle strategy to use against Ai. So Joshua selects 30,000 men. I'm ahead of you. Go ahead and read.
Okay. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night and commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them out from the city, for they shall say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when you have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do it. See, I have commanded you.
Now, here again we go back to doing things God's way. So God gives the battle strategy. Even though Joshua's a military leader, he's getting his instructions from God. He's not just doing this off of experience, per se, okay? God has given him a strategic battle plan. And so he says, all right, you take 30,000 mighty men of valor, send them out at night to set an ambush against the city Oh, they are. Then get them close behind the city. And then you take the remaining army and you approach the city like you previously did. And then you have an ambush set on the east and west sides. And so their strategy, God's strategy, was do like you did before and engage and run like you're defeated. And when you draw them out from the city, then those behind the city to set the ambushes to come out and to set the city on fire. Now, obviously, he's talking about the armies, the troops, military troops that are drawn out of the city. The inhabitants of the city are still in the city, okay? So you go in, and then they'll destroy those people and set the city on fire, and the soldiers in ambush between Bethel and Ai, then they'll come in, and you've got them front, behind, and both sides. They have nowhere to go.
Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people.
And if you to go ahead and
keep reading. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city. Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley.
And so this everything set in place. And the ambushes were set. And Joshua's, it's interesting that he is the one that's going in, putting himself in harm's way. You understand?
Yeah.
They're going in the front. A good leader will lead, right? And so they go in. So then he goes by night into the middle of the valley after these ambushes are set. And then he's making himself visible and vulnerable to the enemy.
And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. He and all the people at a time appointed before the plain, but he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city.
So when the king of Ai saw Joshua and his army in the valley, he's assuming it's like it was before. So he musters his army and goes out to fight with the Israelites at a particular place there in the plain, not knowing or realizing that an ambush was set against him. He just threw caution to the wind.
And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city.
So this is a good illustration of why you don't assume what worked for you one time is going to work for you two times. You understand?
That's good.
So this king is overconfident, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so he comes out against them. And so Joshua does what he did before. He retreats. Gets everything set up so that there's nobody left in Bethel or Ai. It wasn't pursuing this Israeli army. Consequently, the city's left wide open. Am I ahead of you?
That's okay. I'll catch up. Verse 18. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thy hand, And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hastened to set the city on fire.
So God speaks to Joshua. Once the city is cleared, the troops are out, God says, stretch forth your spear. That's his signal for the ambush. All right? When he stretches the spear out, you come out of ambush, you go in and take the city. You understand when he says take the city, they're destroying the city, and then they're setting the city on fire. While Joshua's run to draw them out. So this plan is working beautifully, okay?
And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai.
Okay.
And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they smote them, so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua.
Now, when Joshua stretches out his spear and these men come out of the ambush, they set the city on fire. They realize the armies of Ai, they realize that. Joshua then turns and his men charges that army. Then the ones on the east, the west, they've got them trapped from every side. And so they utterly destroy his army. The city's destroyed and the city is also burned. You can't beat God's strategies, you understand. And it's good to get your plan of action rather than to react. Because when you follow God's plan of action, it always works. So they took this king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. And after all the people in Ai have come out against him are killed, city's destroyed. There's approximately 12,000 people were killed. And I'm ahead of you.
Okay.
But Joshua did not draw back his spear that he had stretched out toward the city of Ai until all the inhabitants had been killed. Now I want you to think about it. How long can you hold your arm out? You with me? With the spear. How long would it take to kill everybody in the city until everything's destroyed? Sort of like Moses holding his hands up and Aaron and Hur having to support him. We don't see someone supporting Joshua. We just see him holding his spear out, and he does that till everybody in the city has been killed. Now, we're talking about 12,000 people. Take a while. Because they're fighting. Pretty incredible, really.
Mm-hmm. Verse 27. Only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord which he commanded Joshua.
So, with the permission of the Lord, the Israelites take the cattle and items of value from the city of Ai as a treasure for themselves. They're not robbing now. They're not stealing from God. This is not devoted to God. Jericho was devoted to God. First city devoted to God. Now you'll find that they are able to get the spoil out of these other cities as they make their conquest, taking a city at a time.
And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day.
At the time of the writing of the book, Ai was still totally desolate. Now, just think about this as we go through this book of Joshua, how they are taking the land that God gave them, a city at a time. And a lot of people think because God has put something in your heart that it's supposed to happen immediately. No, this conquest lasted for a long period of time. You with me? And so the way you take what God's given you is little by little, little by little. Now, God had told Moses that they would not get the land all at one time. He said, if all your enemies destroyed at one time, then the animals will take over the land. The wild animals will take over the land. We're going to leave the enemy in the land to work the land to where they won't be taken over by thorns and briars and wild animals and all that. So you take a city at a time. There's a principle there. You take one step at a time. That's how you get to your goal. Right? That's how you got in this room. You got out of your car, you took one step at a time. You didn't just pop in here, did you? No. It's a principle. But don't assume that you take every city the same way. Don't assume what worked for you yesterday works for you today. Get your instruction on a daily basis. Follow the counsel of God.
You think about, from what we know about Joshua, he's a military man. This was not his first rodeo, so to speak, not his first battle, but yet he's seeking the counsel of the Lord. We listened to something today, and the message was, from my take, your walk is louder than your talk. And one of the things I was thinking about in Joshua's obedience and him seeking the instruction of the Lord that I've seen in somebody's walk, and their walk is very loud, and it's an excellent example of what to do, is that this man, even though he may have done something 100 times over, he still asks the Lord for guidance when he does that. And here's what I see in that, the principle in that, is that I am never to operate independently of the Lord. I'm never to assume I'm smart enough, I can do it on my own. My position should always be a submission, one of submission to the Lord, relying on Him. Because, as we've mentioned so many times before, but we keep saying this so we keep things in perspective, His ways are not my ways. His thoughts, they're higher than my thoughts. And so, may that be a good reminder for you too. Rely on the Lord. Don't rely on yourself. You get into trouble when you rely on yourself.
See, David followed that example. If you look at it, and we really have that with the Philistines that rough him, he goes up, he seeks the counsel of the Lord. Do I go up against them? The Lord said, go up, you win. So he does. They come back to the same place. Rather than to assume that what he did last time will work, he seeks the counsel of the Lord. And the Lord said, no, don't do it that way. You go this way. When you hear the sound of the marching in the top of the mulberry trees, I'll paraphrase here, you'll know that my army's gone out ahead of you, so the victory's certain. Wait for the Lord. Let the Lord go out first. And then you have a certain victory. And so you seek the counsel of the Lord, not assuming you can do it the same way every time. It's like Heather was saying, if you've done it 100 times, and this is a downfall of many ministers, I think, is you've done it before. Well, I've preached that before. I've heard that before. I know that. Well, that's your downfall. You understand? No. Listen to the Lord. Follow the Spirit of God. He said, be led by the Spirit, not by your outline. Be led by the Spirit, not by your strategy that you've come up with. And so we never get to the place that we're so experienced and so mature that we don't need to follow the counsel of the Lord. We need to follow His counsel all the time. The song, it says, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. It's the fact of realizing your need for the Lord in everything you do, instead of thinking we're self-sufficient. I know how to do that.
You think about Jesus' ministry. He never did anything that he didn't hear his Father tell him to do or see that his Father... You see, so he always got his direction from his Father. He didn't do things the same way twice.
Always.
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 Healing blind men, he didn't do it the same way. We just, in Sunday service, the Lord was speaking about how, giving us an example through ministry, how a man, I guess he got in his mind that you're going to heal somebody from deafness by putting your fingers in there and popping them out. Did it the same way. But
that was a big deal back years ago. If you stick your finger in the deaf man's ear and pop his ears open. I just never saw it work. I mean, I guess it looked good. I don't know. But to me, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. Does it work? No. You don't stereotype the Lord. You follow the Spirit of the Lord.
Very good. So, verse 28, does that sound right?
No.
Where 28, are we?
Yeah. They burned the city.
Yeah.
And we've already looked at that, I think, where they piled the...
Made a heap.
Okay.
Verse 29. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day.
Now there's a significance with hanging the person on a tree, because that was a curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. And so what they're doing, they're destroying, then they're hanging this, is this man's cursed. Okay, this place is cursed. But they take it down at evening. And then they bury him, if you will, at the entrance of that gate, covered with a pile of stones. Okay? Another memorial. Don't fight against God, right? Do things God's way.
Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings.
So here again, Joshua is following the instructions given him to the letter. Okay, God told Moses. Moses didn't get to go into the land, but God had told Moses what was to be done. Moses conveyed these instructions to Joshua, build an altar to the Lord on Mount Ebal. And then do it with stone, but don't bring up a hammer. No, God doesn't need man to help him out in that respect, okay? And so he built that altar according to the law of Moses, and he sacrificed to the Lord there at Mount Ebal. Now remember, Mount Ebal is the place where the curse is pronounced. Okay. Now, I think there's some significance here. So in the presence of all Israel, he writes on the stones of the altar a copy of the law of Moses. So all Israel, its leaders, elders, officers, judges, they stood on each side of the Ark of the Covenant that was carried by the Levitical priest. And so following the instructions of Moses, half the people, they stood on the front there at Mount Gerizim, and then the other half stood on the front there at Mount Ebal. And then these things are vocalized to the people. This thing is read to where they know. In other words, Joshua is doing what said, the blessing spoken off of Gerizim, the curse spoken off of Ebal. We'll pick back up with this in our next session. Our time's up, so we'll stop here. Bless us indeed, gin large our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you, leave it for you. You guys have a great rest of the week.